Normally we would do the scripture reading here, but since I already did it earlier, I'd just like to welcome Don and just thank him again for being willing to just provide us the message this morning.
So today we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And I just want to also mention that in the Christian community, it's always a beneficial thing to have transparency. And just between us as Christians, it's healthy. But in addition to that, I want us to understand that today, the text that we're looking at is a very transparent text. It shows the glory and the shame, the truth about the dynamics of the early Christian church. And so I'm going to be reading some of the scripture, but Aaron read the guards report, which basically kind of indicated what was happening. It's kind of scary that things like this happen within churches or within religious organizations, but it did happen. And then we have the Great Commission text, which is the second major paragraph that we looked at. So the title of my message today is this: The Great Cover-Up or the Great Commission. Choose. Each of us in life, we can make decisions of where we want to allocate our time and our effort. We can be involved in cover-ups, or we can be involved in a vision, a great commission, a great task. And in this case, it's a task that the Lord Jesus Christ lays before us. Matthew 28:11 tells us that while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. So this morning, we're starting out from a standpoint of something has happened, and someone is communicating the truth. The guards reported. The authorities found out. I guess it was probably in Jerusalem. And, you know, living in D.C. is wonderful. I live in D.C. now. Very unforgettable experience. I never would have thought that I would have lived here. My wife and I, we live right next to NPR. I remember as a student in California and Texas and in Missouri, I listened to NPR all the time, and now it's right next door. I live in an apartment complex. Amazing. Bustling city, a metro. There's sports, there's politics, there's traffic, congestion, governance taking place. It's amazing. I even saw Newt Gingrich on Friday, which is amazing. Newt the Gingrich, I saw him while I was walking past my wife's workplace there next to Union Station. I visited the National Press Club just to listen to a talk one time. A lot of things that you can do here. In fact, one of my favorite television series is from D.C., NCIS. While stationed in Afghanistan and in my hooch, I downloaded 18 seasons of this and watched it during my time there when I had time off. So I love Tony and Ziva, Timothy and Abby and Jethro, my favorites. In fact, I looked at a Wikipedia article, and there are at least 92 different television series that deal with Washington, D.C. Absolutely amazing. Some of them on cable recently are quite popular. A Scandal, starring Kerry Washington. But the big one is House of Cards, starring Kevin Spacey. Anybody watch that show? It's not for kids, believe me. I found out. Starring Francis J. Frank Underwood, a dark, morally treacherous politician who murders his way to the White House in his quest of lust and power. In fact, the U.S. News recently reported that House of Cards is one of the most popular television shows in China. It gives a negative portrayal of American culture and politics. Conspiracy and cover-up and scandal. And people try to understand, why is this? People like hearing about the terrible things of America. And there have been debates back and forth, and some people have said, well, it's you can't really talk about real things in China, so they talk about the United States. So they deal in a cathartic way with their own realities. Cover-ups are not limited to the United States, though. There are cover-ups in China, food scandals, dog jerky issues. And if you recall, China, it's kind of hard to investigate the terror of Marxism over the past few decades. In fact, if you remember a few weeks ago, we remembered the man standing in front of a tank, an embattled, bloody street in Beijing. Banned photo, cover-up. Yet the truth will come out one day. Friday evening, my wife and I, we took a prayer walk, which we have done rarely, but we did Friday evening. And we passed by the Victims of Communism Memorial on New Jersey and Massachusetts Avenue. You should check it out sometime. You have the statue there with the woman, memorial of the 100 million killed in communist attempts for utopia. So, I mean, cover-ups exist all over the place. Cover-ups exist in church. There were scandals in Rome recently regarding finance. So cover-ups and these kind of things are a part of our experience in life. You really can't get away from these things. Nothing is new under the sun. Politics, scandals, and government. We listen to the news. We want to know, where did the $1 billion go? Do you want to know where it went? My first point today is this. Although you might try, you can't cover up the truth of God. Let's look at this text, and I'm going to read from the Message, which is another translation, which I like sometimes. They called a meeting of the religious leaders and came up with a plan. It's nice to have a plan, by the way. You know, we need to have plans in church, but they came up with a plan here. They took a large sum of money and gave it to the soldiers, bribing them to say, "His disciples came in the night and stole the body while he was sleeping." They assured them, "If the governor hears about your sleeping on duty, we will make sure you don't get blamed." The soldiers took the bribe and did what they were told. That story cooked up in the Jewish High Council. It's still going around. What a day. That day of the resurrection when Jesus rose from the dead, left the tomb. Later, on Sunday, women, Mary Magdalene and Mary went, the other Mary, went looking for the tomb, and they showed up, and shock, there was no body. And the guards, they became like dead men. They were shocked. The angel told the women to go tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and the women left. And so I want you to picture that scene. No one's there, just the guards. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're a Roman soldier or a temple guard at least. And if you lose your, it wasn't a prisoner, if you lose the corpse, it's not good. Have you ever lost, have you ever like suffered because you did something wrong and you didn't deserve it? They were going to suffer. Have you, anybody here been innocent and you got hammered? Anyone? I'm just curious. Okay. How does that feel? What are you going to do? So the scripture tells us that some of the guards, not all the guards, the rest probably took off running, but some of them went to the religious leaders. That's the scene that we have here. Some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. Wow, amazing. The attempt to cover up initiated. But how can you cover up what happened here? Because we know from the scripture that Jesus appeared to the disciples. The only explanation for the growth of early Christianity is that it was in the power of the Holy Spirit. People witnessed and proclaimed the gospel. They went all over the world, and Christianity expanded rapidly, miraculously. Friend, you really can't cover up the truth. You can try, but in the end, the truth will come out. In the end, someone will find out what has happened. It kind of reminds me when I was a kid. You know, I was junior high, living in California. And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't have much money. You're not very rich. So I found out where my dad put his money. He had a sock, a big black sock, and he put money in it, coins and quarters and dollar bills and sometimes a $20 bill. And I found out that I could go up there, and I was tall enough, I could reach up, and I could grab, I pull it down. But I soon realized the sock was getting empty. So I got an idea. I'm going to put pennies in it. So I started putting pennies in it. But you know, one of these days, someone will open up the sock and find out, well, what happened? How come they're all pennies here? And you're caught. And that's exactly what happens with us when we try to cover things up. We are caught. Friend, you can't really cover up the truth. You can try, but in the end, it will come out. Christianity is about Jesus, risen from the dead. It's about spreading the gospel to others. It's about making followers. Look at your life. Look at your walk with God. Is there a cover-up going on? Are you simply going through the motions, going to church, paying your tithe, involvement on boards and meetings and religious activities, enjoying family and community? Is that all there is to it? Is that all there is to it? Or are you engaged in something greater, something dynamic, something awesome that is the commission to reach others who do not know God? Are you like the guards who know the truth? They knew the truth and they got the bribe. I wonder how many of them actually later got converted, because we know during this time many of the early Christians were former Pharisees. I wonder if any of those guards came to faith in Christ. Friend, the church is not a club or an association. It is a living community with a mission rooted upon an encounter with the living God, the risen Christ, who's called you, called us, given us a commission. How can we say we follow him if we are not committed to the commission? How can we follow him if we have never fully surrendered? And I challenge all of us, to consider whether or not we want to fully surrender to the call and mission of Christianity. The second point today is this: the truth of God is seen in the Great Commission. And the swirling reality of D.C., with so many things happening here, with this church on 5th and I, there's something that really, really matters. The Great Commission. The call to reach others. The first book in the New Testament, Matthew, is also said to be the most important book in the Bible. That's debatable because they're all important. But just the beauty of it, the power of it, the message of it. And please understand, in every other one of the Gospels, there's an emphasis on the Great Commission also. It's a little different. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain, where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. I like this term, by the way, some held back. We just went through a church process where we chose a pastor. And in the church world, one of the things that you strive to do is to have unanimous consent of a pastoral choice, right? That's what we try to do. But the reality is, there wasn't even unanimous consent about Jesus among the disciples. It's okay not to have unanimous dissent. Now, I know that we have unanimous dissent. Assent, not dissent. There's a difference between those two words. But the reality is, it's okay, because it's normal to doubt and struggle. And the disciples did this. And the kingdom of God moved on regardless. Some held back. Churches today struggle. This text that I pointed out, there's three key points that I want us to look at. The first one is this: Jesus has all authority. Then Jesus came to them in verse 18 and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. Authority here means unrestrained right or freedom of action. Jesus has this authority, and he extends that authority to the church, to the community of God. You, by simply being Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the authority, the right to communicate the message of hope to others. That's a challenge and a mission for you. And I challenge you to be a part of that. We live in very difficult times today. You and I are followers of Christ, and there's a lot of different views and different ideas out there, different philosophies. Let me tell you, people still need God. They still confront tragedies in their life and don't have answers. You have the answer. You have the answer for people. So don't sit on it. Don't put it under a bushel. Secondly, Jesus sends us to all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In the church world today, this is Trinity Sunday, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are called to go out to all nations. This word nations really means ethnos, peoples, all peoples. And that includes your family. That includes reaching people that you're close to. That includes reaching people that are outside of your horizon of experience. We are called to reach all that we can. And we have been authorized to do that, to go and make disciples of all nations, all ethne. You know, we Americans like to do things instantly. We have instant everything. We have instant coffee, instant teas, instant photos. We even have instant books. In fact, you can have a book if you're a celebrity, just get someone else to write it for you, and you have an instant book. That's happening more and more and more today. Instant everything. There was a man who wrote a book that I really like. His name's Eugene Peterson. He wrote a book about following Christ, and it's entitled this: A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. As Christians, as we walk with Christ, it is an obedience in the same direction, moving toward Christ. Of course, we will, you know, confront problems and hit dead ends and be bumped around and nicked and scraped, but we continue on going forward. And there's many things that we can do. Now, I think of the just being in Washington, D.C., you have no idea who can come into this church in Washington, D.C. You know, one of the advantages for churches in a city is that they can always survive because there's just so many people in the city, so people will always come to a church in a city. It's hard to have a church in a rural area, believe me. That's really tough. But in a city, you will attract people. You never know who will come and sit in one of these pews. Zhao and Lai, other key leaders in American history have actually, that have visited the United States, have attended churches in the United States, even in Washington, D.C. Ho Chi Minh could have attended. Imagine if Ho Chi Minh had become a believer in Christ. There was one time in my life when I was in Missouri, I sponsored a student. That student was an African lieutenant. He became a major, and he eventually became the leader of the army in Burkina Faso. And we had a relationship, and I was able to influence him for Christ. This church is trying to start a program of befriending international students. I want to encourage you to consider volunteering to be a part of that program. at some point. The last point I want to make here is that Jesus is with us always, even to the end. The disciples were given a task to go into the world and a promise that Christ would be with them. And that promise is relevant for us also. As we extend the opportunity for others to believe in Jesus Christ, I want you to understand that Christ is with you. The Lord is with you as you take steps to introduce others to Jesus Christ. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age, is what the scripture says. So in conclusion, don't submit to the cover-up and put your faith, your energy, your life in Christ under a bushel. Extend. Invite people to church. Talk to people about Jesus Christ. Secondly, be a part of the Great Commission. Be a part of this great project, this great Christian project of reaching others. You have the authority through Jesus Christ to do this. And Jesus has sent us to people. And Jesus will be with us until the ends of the earth and ends of the world. Let us pray. Lord, great is your faithfulness. As we conclude this message today, my prayer is for those who have not heard the message of Christ who live among us. Lord, let us be your hands. Let us be your feet. Let us be your voice to reach out to those that are lost, that do not know the living God. Lord, bring situations and circumstances into our lives where we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray this in your most holy name.